You know, this time of year, between the ending of one year and the beginning of another, is a period of transitions for us. And that period of transitions is a good thing. It affords us an opportunity to look back, as we have done. It affords us the opportunity to look forward to what may be and what we hope will be out there. And for those of us who are seeking to follow Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, for those of us who have called upon Jesus and responded to God's grace and His mercy and His forgiveness, this is a special time for us. For not only do we look back and read Time Magazine's, you know, Man of the Year edition and find out all the things that happened over the past year, not only do we read the next Time Magazine, we'll look forward to the year ahead, and now that we're entering into the teens, you know, the big question is, what are we going to call this decade? You know, is it the tweens? Is it the tens or whatever? The scariest thought is it's the teenage years for us in this century. So who knows what that will bring to us? But as Christians, we are allowed to look back onto God's faithfulness in His life, how He has been faithful in our past history, and it also affords us the opportunity to look forward to God's faithfulness as our hope. No matter what life brings us, no matter what lays before us, we have hope in Jesus Christ, who is our God, who is our Savior. The Scriptures continually draw us back to look back at what God has done. Over and over again, God told the children of Israel to recount, to retell the stories of how He had been faithful to them, how He had led them through the desert, through the waters, through the battles, in order to see God's faithfulness to them, and then at the same time to look forward, knowing that God had been faithful in the past, that God will be faithful in the future. Again, as Bonnie reminded us, God is good. And He's good all the time. He just wasn't good yesterday, but He's good today, and He'll be good tomorrow as well. The psalmist, King David, constantly in his psalms would look back at God's faithfulness when he was facing trials and crisis and uncertainty for the tomorrow. He would take time to look back at who God was. And I want us to do that today, to spend some time in a very familiar portion of the Old Testament, and that is Psalm 23. And I want to read that for you in a moment. But before I do, I want us to pray. I want us to ask God to take that which is very familiar to us, to help us, to remind us of God's faithfulness in the past and His goodness and His faithfulness in the future. So will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we ask that You would open our eyes to see afresh, anew, the things that God has for us. Holy Spirit, we ask that You would open our ears, that we would hear the Word of God today. Holy Spirit, open our minds, that we would be able to understand, to comprehend the truth that God speaks to us. And Holy Spirit, open our hearts, that we would receive this word, that we would believe it, that it would permeate our bodies, so that as we walk in the new journey of 2010, we would know that we do not walk alone. And God's presence with us would be our comfort. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Psalm 23, I'm going to read out of the New International Version. And most of you, no matter what version I read out of it, you will hear it in the King James. There's just a magic thing that's going to go between my lips and your ears. You're going to hear this in the King James. But sometimes it's good for us to hear it in a form that we are not familiar with, to kind of quicken our hearts, our ears, a little bit. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through life's darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The first thing we need to realize about this psalm before we go any farther is that this psalm demands relationship. There is relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. Here the shepherd referring to the Lord, the sheep referring to us. There is a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, between the Lord and us. And it's quite an amazing relationship when you think about it. In the first verse, David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, he uses a word here. He speaks a word, writes down a word that does not just mean my teacher, my rabbi, my master. It does not mean Mr. or Sir. It is, in fact, the given name, the name that God gives himself. When Moses had asked him, "God, who shall I say sent me?" When God was sending him down to Egypt to set the people of Israel free from the hand of Pharaoh, Moses said, "Whose name, what God shall I say sent me?" Because there's lots of gods out there, and they're going to ask me, "What's his name if you're so tight with this God?" And God says, "Here's what you're going to tell them. You're going to say, the I am sent you. I am that I am. I will be what I will be. I do not change. I am. There is no other." It's that name that David writes here. He says, God, the sovereign of eternity, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who spoke and things took form and function, the one who created humankind, the one who formed a nation out of one man and one woman, the one who led that nation into bondage, out of bondage, 40 years through the wilderness and into the promised land, that one who defeated armies and knocked down walls, that Lord, that God is your shepherd. He lives in relationship with you. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm about relationship. And it has to start there. If we don't have a relationship with the sovereign God of eternity, which is available to us in the person of Jesus Christ, then the psalm makes no sense for you. All right? You can't really appreciate the truth of this psalm if you're not one of the sheep. If the Lord is not your shepherd, this makes no sense. It's not for you. God wants to be our shepherd. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to lead you. He wants to be your strength for the journey. And we're on a journey. I want us to just look at some of the things that this good shepherd provides for us as we walk the journey that's ahead of us. In the first three verses, we see that God provides for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. As I was reading this verse this week over and over again, I thought, and I was sharing with Robin earlier, I said, I think this becomes my theme verse for next Christmas. We're going to all memorize this. When you walk into the mall, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. There's nothing in here I need. I have everything. I lack nothing. What part of nothing don't we understand? I lack nothing. There's nothing that I need because God is my shepherd. And you're sitting there and going, yeah, but Randy, I already know I need that donut, okay, because my stomach is already churning. I haven't had an opportunity because I wanted to get to church on time. I couldn't stop at Starbucks. I couldn't stop at Coffee Cat. And so I need some caffeine right now. I have needs, and I don't doubt that you have needs. I don't doubt that you need a donut or a cup of coffee or a roof over your head or clothes on your back or a car to drive in. I don't doubt that. But what the psalmist wants us to understand is that God provides exactly what you need so that you really lack nothing. That's always there for you, no matter what kind of house you live in, no matter how much of the donut you get. God provides. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Sheep love nothing better than to lie down in green pastures. Cool, sweet green grass that they can nibble their hearts to their heart's content upon. God provides food for his sheep. Again, it's not just the food on the plate, as much as we need that. But it's food for the soul. He says he leads me beside quiet waters. He brings us to water to drink, not rapids that will wash the sheep down, but quiet pools of water that refresh the sheep. And we see that God provides what we need. He feeds the soul. He quenches the thirst of purpose and longing. When deep down inside we realize that we want to be loved, we want to be cared for, we want to be accepted, and we want to be appreciated, and all of those things is what we really need. And in fact, I'll tell you that lots of stuff I do in my life, the lots of stuff that I produce in my life, there are lots of stuff that I buy for my life has to do with you loving me. If I read the right books and wear the right clothes and live in the right house and drive the right car and say the right things and, you know, you get the picture. If I own the right stuff, then you'll love me. Because I really don't want the stuff. I want the love that I think comes with the stuff. God says, I will give you the love that you need. I will accept you. I do accept you. Remember, we talked about love last week, and we said that God loved us before we were able to love anything, that God loved us while we were yet sinners. God loved us. He feeds the soul. He quenches our hunger and our thirst for purpose and meaning and love and acceptance and forgiveness and mercy. God does all that. He provides for us. And it says he leads us on right paths. He takes us on the road that we're supposed to go on. Paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God provides for us and leads us on the way that we're supposed to go because he knows what we really need. He knows what he's created us for. And when we let God be our shepherd, he provides the nutriment we need and the path to walk. God provides both of those for us. In verse 4, we find that he protects us while we're on the journey. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. What was the King James? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I think we miss something with the King James translation, because we tend to say, well, this psalm and that portion of the psalm only has to do when I'm walking toward death or when I'm dealing with death. No, it has to do when I'm walking in places that are just overwhelming to me. When I'm walking in that dark, shadowy place where I can no longer see the sunlight, it is blocked out by the height of the canyon walls that I am in. The road twists and turns around each of those canyon walls, and I can't see but a few hundred yards in front of me, and I can't see behind me, and all I can do is to hope that the shepherd will get me through the valley up to the good grass and water on the hillside. And the Bible tells us that God protects us as we journey through those canyons of life. And notice how he protects us. It says, with his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Why? Because those are the things that the shepherd will use to defend the sheep against robbers and wily coyotes and stuff that want to steal the sheep. But most importantly, look what he says. I fear no evil. Why? Why? For thou art with me. It's the presence of God that protects us. When God led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land, the Bible tells us that he went before them with a pillar of cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire at night. Why? Couldn't he have just drawn them a map? Sure. Couldn't he have whispered in Moses' ear, given Moses some holy GPS unit to get him through the wilderness? I'm sure he could have done that. But the people didn't need a map. The people needed to know that God was with them. And every morning when they woke up and got out of their tents, there was God. His presence marked by this pillar of smoke. In the midst of the camp, the people could always look and say, the presence of God is here. In the middle of the night, when they were tucked into their tents, and that little Hebrew boy would roll over to his dad and say, Dad, Dad, I had a dream. I was being chased by a swarm of locusts. Good reason to have that dream as a little Hebrew boy. I'm afraid, Dad. Dad could open up the curtain of the tent, and in would shine a ray of light from that pillar of fire in the midst of the camp. And that Jewish father could say, don't be afraid, son. God's in the camp. It's that God, it's that presence that walks with you, that walks with me through the darkest times of our lives. And if I know that the sovereign creator God, the Lord, is with me in my crisis moments, of what then shall I be afraid? I don't think there's much. My brother is 10 years older than I am, so he was never at elementary school to protect me. You know, I get picked on as a fat little kid, you know, poking me in the belly, you know, like the Pillsbury Doughboy, you know. And I couldn't say, I didn't have my brother standing behind me. Say, quit picking on my little brother, even though he's not very little. And so I was fearful. I was afraid. I didn't have anybody to protect me. How to protect myself. oh, how life would have been different if I really had the understanding, the knowledge that the Creator God was standing with me. Oh, that we would understand that as adults. That in your loneliest times, God is there. In your most fearful times, God is there. When you're sick and you're hurting and in pain, God is there. When you feel separated from everybody else, God is there. When you look around you and you cannot see the daylight because the canyon around you is so blasted high, God is there. His presence brings us comfort. That is what this good shepherd does. In verse 5, we read that he gives us his peace. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, it overflows. God sets a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He lets us be able to sup in community with those who would seek to do us harm. That brings us peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Jesus is about making peace. He sets a table before us. He essentially is saying in this passage, "I am going to make it possible for you to be at peace, at comfort, to sup, to be a community, even though there are enemies in your midst." If you know there's a war going on, if you know there's enemies in the house, the last place you want to be is sitting at the table. The picture for us here is that God says, "I am taking care of that. I am causing peace to rule in your life so that you can even sit down with those who you think are your enemies. For I anoint you. I set you aside as my special child." The psalmist says, "My cup overflows." And lastly, in verse 6, we see that God perseveres with us and preserves us. "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God is developing and has developed a place for us to be with him, and he with us. And that goodness and that love will follow us all the days of our life. We'll never be separated from that. It perseveres, it endures for us. And it brings us to the place where we will dwell in God's presence, that place of eternal Sabbath rest. Children of Israel lived their days and started with God in their presence by the cloud, by the fire, by the Ark of the Covenant. But at the end of all things, it's not so much God in our presence, but we in God's presence. God has walked with you, is walking with you, shall continue to walk with you through all that life brings you. And he is going to bring you to that day in which you are in his presence. Now here's the good news. Here's the exciting news. Jesus tells us that that day is already here. It's not about heaven. It's about now. Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Be attached to me. Let my word abide in you and you abide in my word. As I am in the Father and the Father is in me, so you shall be in us and we in you." And Jesus says that's a now type of experience. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The scripture tells us that for those who trust in Jesus, that dwelling is taking place right now. You are there with God, and He is here with you, dwelling in your heart by His Holy Spirit. Little Maya is going to put jewelry in her little box. God's going to place His Spirit in our hearts. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Now, I don't know what 2010 is going to be like. I have my hopes and my prayers. But I don't know if it's going to be feast or famine. I don't know if it's going to be fair weather or floods. I don't know if we're going to have more war or some peace. I don't know what 2010 holds. Nobody does. But this one thing I do know, that God is the good shepherd. And He will be with us through it all. Therefore, it's a good time for us at the beginning of this new year, at the end of this past year, to stop for a second or two and renew that relationship with the Good Shepherd. And if you've never had that relationship with the Good Shepherd, today is the best day of your life, because now you have an opportunity to say, Jesus, I need You. I want You to be my shepherd. I want You to be my God. I want You to come in and live inside my life by Your Holy Spirit. I don't understand how You do that, God, but I know I need that. I know I want Your presence. And today's the day, as simple as that, you can say, Jesus, come. Be my good shepherd. And He will. And for those of you who have been sheep for a long time, it's a good time to make sure you're in the right pen. You're following the right shepherd. Because there are others out there that would seek to have you come this way. We need to say, Jesus, the sheep know the Savior's voice. Help me to hear Your voice and to follow. And to give thanks to Him for His faithfulness in the past and to trust Him for His faithfulness in the future. So would you stand with me, and we're going to close in prayer. Almighty God, sovereign of eternity, creator of the heavens and the earth, living Word who has always existed, God of light and life, God incarnate in Jesus our Savior, God the Holy Spirit who dwells within the life of the believer, Lord, You are our shepherd. We shall lack nothing. Good Shepherd, we are Your sheep. I am Your sheep. I want to follow Your voice only. Lord, I need green pastures. I desire quiet waters. I need to know the path to walk on. I need to know Your protective presence. Lord, I desire to be at peace with you and with all people. To bring them to your table. To partake of your goodness. Lord, we as your sheep, I as your sheep, desire to follow you and walk in your goodness and your mercy all the days of my life, and to know that I dwell with the Most High God. Lord, today we thank you for your past faithfulness. And we trust you for your future hope. And we know we can ask these things because of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep. And so we pray in your name, dear Shepherd, Savior of our souls. And all God's flock said,